says to the mudhead, it gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm excited about Real Science Friday shows coming up. One of the leading researchers in the intelligent design movement is Dr. Jonathan Witt. He wrote the script for the DVD, The Privileged Planet, and he's a co-author of Intelligent Design Uncensored with William Dembski and other great writings. And I'll be interviewing him for one or two Real Science Friday programs, so please plan to tune in for that. It should be a lot of fun. Also, thank you. You guys are great. The telethon is over, and I said on the air we didn't know how we would proceed, but we do our best because our goal was $20,000, and we just took in 50%, and now we're up to $16,600. So we went from 10,000 at the end of September when we ended the telethon to 16,600. We're up to 83%. We only have 17% of the way to go. We might meet our goal. I think our next telethon, we should just cancel it from the beginning. And then maybe our dear friends and listeners and supporters won't torment us and wait till it's over to donate. But if you can help us, that would be so tremendous. 16,600. Wow. Remember that Barack Obama bows to everybody? He bows to who? The Saudi king, and he bows to the Chinese premier and the Japanese emperor. In fact, I remember Daryl Burkey was on this program a while back, and we talked about Obama culminating his humility when he bowed to the mayor of Tampa, Florida. That was just too much. I mean, he's a character, and why would he bow to everybody? You know, a control freak, Barack Obama is willing to control hundreds of millions of people the way Mitt Romney imposed government health care reform on the state of Massachusetts. A lot of it funded by federal Medicaid dollars, your tax dollars, no matter where you live, to pay for people in Massachusetts. Like a family making $44,000 a year, the government would subsidize 90% of their health care through Romney Care. Anyway, you've got Barack Obama, like Mitt Romney, willing to control hundreds of millions of people, and yet he bows to everyone, showing how humble he is. It's the old thou protesteth too much syndrome. He's so humble in his display, which is meant to conceal that he's a control freak. And so I bring up Obama bowing to Japan's emperor because the story that has just broke, that WikiLeaks has released a secret diplomatic cable that was sent from Japan to the U.S. Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And it was from Japan's vice foreign minister. And he was telling the United States, that is the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, that please don't apologize. Obama wanted to go there, bow to the Japanese emperor, and then go to Hiroshima and apologize for bombing Hiroshima during World War II. Is that too much or what? And Japan said, please, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Please don't apologize. Because Japan appreciates our alliance and that America is willing to stand up for our allies. And there are many people, anarchists, pacifists, communist, who want nothing more than for America to unilaterally disarm and get rid of our nuclear weapons. And so the Japanese think, you know, we appreciate the protection we get from the American umbrella. So you know what, Mr. President, please don't come and apologize for nuking Hiroshima or Nagasaki for that matter. Now, I have a dear friend, a guy that I really love, a neat guy, but I disagree with him on some foreign policy issues. And recently I was talking to him about Iraq, the Iraq War, World War II, and see if you could note something. I find this kind of thing common when I debate people who are critical. It's a knee-jerk critical reaction against anything America's government does with the use of force. So if Barack Obama does something with the use of force or in some other sphere of his authority or influence, power, regardless of the fact that I know he's immoral and wicked and that I despise him and that he's a child killer and that he needs to repent before God or else he's going to hell, he's got a real serious problem ahead of him. Despite the fact of that, if he does something right, I acknowledge that he did something right. And so my friend was saying that, you know, what we did in Japan was wrong. It was wrong to bomb these cities. And we said, well, we might have killed a million people in Tokyo if we had to invade the mainland. And a few minutes later, he's upset that because of our sanctions on Iraq, he used a liberal statistic that I think is completely invalid. He said, we killed 500,000 Iraqi children by our sanctions. 500,000. That's a lot. That would be a great tragedy. And he said, we shouldn't have bombed Japan. We should have put up a naval blockade of the country. And so there were a few of us there, our friends. And we're fellowshipping and talking about biblical principles and how do they apply to current events and world history, and how would you advise the president if you had the opportunity? Do you know God's word well enough that you could say something that actually is wise and that would honor God? And he said, we should have blockaded Japan, not bombed them. And one of my friends said, well, wouldn't that have starved a million children? Wouldn't a million Japanese children have died? But maybe, right? What, the Japanese were not fanatical during World War II? Of course they were fanatical. Like the Iranian extremists in the government, they're fanatical. And so, like Al-Qaeda is fanatical, like Hamas is fanatical. They'll bury their children at a rate that undermines their population growth because they hate Israelis more than they love their own children. And so maybe your policy would have killed a million children in Japan. And so here's what I think happens. I think that the way so many people hated Bush more than they loved the Iraqi people. And so if Saddam Hussein is guilty of genocide, he's a mass murderer, according to the New York Times, of all places, that despised Bush and the war, they said that Saddam Hussein was responsible for systematically slaughtering tens of thousands of his own people. But if you hate Bush more than you love the Iraqi people, then you will condemn Bush for going into Iraq to depose the tyrant mass murderer. But if there is a government and a governing leader who is systematically killing his own people, he has no moral authority to lead. And any neighbors, Jesus said, who is your neighbor? Any neighbor around the world who has the ability can go in and stop the genocide. They can stop it. And so the French were mad that we went into Iraq. They didn't care if the Kurds would get gassed. They didn't care if Saddam killed 100,000 or 200,000. They didn't care. They said, we had no right to invade. And so here at Bob and Yurt Live, we said, look, you guys, if the French government starts systematically killing Jews or whatever, their minorities, we'll invade Paris. Forget about Baghdad. We'll invade Paris. My wife and I were thinking of taking a course in Arabic at the local community college because we really have a dream someday of going to Paris. So we thought, learn a little bit of Arabic, get around at the cafes. You might want to go see the Eiffel Tower. You might want to take a taxi somewhere. You got to know some basic Arabic. So anyway, this WikiLeaks formerly secret diplomatic cable is interesting. It tells the world that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were asking Japan for permission to apologize for us stopping their aggression and very likely saving hundreds of thousands of Japanese who would have been killed had the war been prolonged, if not another million Japanese soldiers and civilians, men, women, and children, the elderly, and so on. So, but hey, if Obama will bow to the mayor of Tampa, Florida, I think we have some kind of a psychological dysfunction going on there. All right. Now, Obama decided to kill Alaki recently, right? Remember the underwear bomber who tried to blow up a Northwest Airlines flight headed to Detroit, an international flight, and he had a bomb in his underwear, of all things? The shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, the bad hair day Al-Qaeda leader in Pakistan, the tyrant in the spider hole. And so the underwear bomber, who's just now pleaded guilty to charges of trying to blow up this Northwest Airlines flight, he was working for this Alaki, this Anwar Alaki, the guy that we just killed. And I'm so thrilled that we killed him and one of his cohort terrorist buddies, and they're both dead. And that's good that they're dead. But you know what's interesting? The exact same lawyers, Democratic lawyers, liberal lawyers, Obama lawyers, the exact same now White House lawyers who drafted a secret Alaki kill memo, who said, hey, it's okay for us to kill Alaki, even though he's a U.S. citizen, and we don't have to bring charges. We don't have to try him. We don't have to convict him. It's okay to kill him. And I agree. In war, you don't have to assign a defense attorney to every combatant, especially on the battlefield, especially in foreign countries. You don't have to do that. When you're at war, you do get to kill them. If it's a just war and they're trying to kill you or kill the people you care about, then God does authorize governments to go to war and to kill the aggressors. He authorizes that. And so the exact same White House lawyers who drafted the secret Alaki kill memo published articles against Bush's use of power against terrorists. The exact same guys. And Bush didn't have a kill list of American citizens who are targeted for assassination. Now, I like that kill list in the context of a war on terror, just like we were at war against the Germans. And if we could kill Adolf Hitler, then great. Let's give a medal to whoever can kill him. And so this David Baron and Martin Letterman, they are these attorneys who wrote this Alaki kill memo. And just 3 years ago, they published articles in the Harvard Law Review saying that the executive branch has gone way overboard in their use of war powers. And that is just so typical to me. And if you think it's only the Democrats who do that, please don't delude yourself. Please. Because the Republicans are all over Barack Obama for health care reform and passing Obamacare, which is not funded, which puts us into further debt. And George W. Bush, one of their heroes, gave us an entitlement program, a prescription drug program that's already given us, is it $1 trillion of additional debt already? Bush didn't fund that. That's all debt. And so why don't we condemn Bush equally? It's because he's a Republican and we want to play a kingmaker. And so even if Bush and Mitt Romney and so on, even if they do exactly what Clinton and Obama have done, or even if they do worse than the Democrats, we have to defend them because we're afraid of the boogeyman. And we have to win at all costs, even if it means the Republican Party becomes increasingly like the Democratic Party and helps to destroy our country. Because we can't trust God and do what's right. No, we have to make political and arithmetic calculations to determine what is right. And that's simply not valid. When you're trying to decide what is right, and you have to take out a calculator and solve multiple simultaneous equations, you got to do arithmetic like you're a utilitarian moral relativist. And let's see. Who would kill more people? Would it be Mitt Romney with tax-funded late-term abortion on demand, elective abortion, paid for by tax dollars, by your tax dollars? Or would it be Barack Obama with Obamacare, which only funds limited abortion? Let's see, we got to do that calculation and think whoever is going to kill fewer kids, that's who we're going to support. So you got to run the numbers. But God never says that in order to determine what is right, you have to be able to predict the future and do complex economic and mathematical calculations to figure out who's going to intentionally kill more innocent people. No, God just says to obey him. And to do that, you have to trust him. You don't have to trust a Republican strategist. You have to trust the Apostle Paul. You have to trust Jesus Christ. And that should be easy because he's our creator and our savior and our Lord. So he says, trust me. We have to trust him. And he says, do not kill the innocent. And so if you defend someone who intentionally kills the innocent, because, you know, you're afraid of the boogeyman, Barack Obama, and Obama's going to kill more people than my guy, I think, because I ran these spreadsheet calculations, and I did a Monte Carlo analysis, and I figured it out, and I'm pretty sure that Al Gore would give more money to Planned Parenthood than George W. Bush would, because Bush is against funding Planned Parenthood, so I supported Bush, even though he was willing to kill, no exaggeration, millions of innocent children by his own policies, by his own funding, by his own. Not by Supreme Court rulings or laws that he disagrees with, but by his own policies, George W. Bush supported, while he was in office as president, killing over 3 million children. Just go to prolifeprofiles.com, click on George W. Bush, Tier 4, Personhood Never, and look at the exceptions calculator. And if you don't believe the numbers, you could run the numbers. It's all there. You could see that Bush advocated killing over 3 million innocent children. And you listen to the Heritage Foundation, and they'll say, or Hugh Hewitt, and they'll say, or Dennis Prager, and they'll say, or Sean Hannity, and they'll say, well, he was against 99% of all abortion. Somehow it added up to over 3 million kids that he slaughtered. So when you got to run the numbers to decide whether or not to support a politician, beware of your own bias because of the desire to be a kingmaker. We want to play in the game. We want to be dealt in. I want a hand of cards that I could play, and I want to discard these three and get three more. I want to beat the house. And so we become biased, and we overlook the fact that we're being asked to support an admitted child killer. And we're believing the lie that the Christian child killer is better than the make-believe Muslim child killer, or the conservative Christian child killer is better than the liberal Democratic child killer. No. Our child killer is always the worst. It's always worse. When a good man or someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ does evil, that is far more destructive than when someone who says he's an atheist does evil, or than someone who really couldn't care less about who Jesus Christ is and would bow to Muhammad before he'd utter the name Jesus Christ in public. Was I talking about Bush there or Obama? It's hard to tell. I mean, Bush, I mean, how many times did he praise the Quran? I mean, praise the Quran? How many times? In Muhammad and Islam, a religion of peace and a great world religion, but he wouldn't allow Christians to name the name of Jesus Christ if he was in control of the program, including at the Republican National Convention. So we have the Obama lawyers drafting a secret memo to kill Alaki. And they're the same two attorneys who wrote Harvard Law Review articles saying that the Bush administration is out of control using war powers against terrorists. Same guys. And so when we all stand before God, do you think he's going to say, all right, now, when you advocated this policy, was it for a Republican or a Democrat? I think Christians think that God's going to say, all right, well, when you advocated this law, was it a state law or a federal law? Like, God is going to ask that. Well, we decriminalized adultery. We said, thou shalt not commit adultery. We said, that's no longer valid. And we tolerated stealing. It's called socialism. And we okayed killing unborn children. And God says, oh, okay, but was it under states' rights? Because if it's under states' rights, then that's a different matter altogether. Because it's true, I said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. But if it's states' rights matter, if Mitt Romney only did it in Massachusetts, then I don't have any complaints. That's fine. I mean, don't you know that the U.S. Constitution allows states to decriminalize the killing of Japanese people? Or does it? Or I'm confused. I thought there was something in there about equal protection under the law. I really thought there was something in there. But apparently, to hear a lot of conservative Christian pro-lifers tell it, the U.S. Constitution allows states to permit the intentional killing of the innocent. And they say it's up to the states. And so in Germany, if you have different states within Germany and they're killing the Jews during World War II, you think God's going to say, well, were you killing the Jews under a national law or under a state law? How did your district vote? Oh, it was a state law. Okay, I don't have any qualms with that. And Christians are so short-sighted. And so you want to talk about being ethnocentric and parochial. They're blinded to the matters of eternal justice by a snapshot, a fluke of history, in which we have a peculiar set of laws in which they think that they can argue that a state has the right to decriminalize what? Only murder or also stealing? Because Mitt Romney decriminalized stealing in Massachusetts if it's to pay for health care. Right? Mitt Romney, he says, he lied. He said, well, my Romney care only applied to 8% of the people in Massachusetts. Barack Obama's care, Obamacare applies to 100%. He's such a lying dog. He's a lying dog. Because Romney care said every person in the state of Massachusetts has to be insured. It's what they call the individual mandate. Remember the thing that all the Republicans were enraged about Obamacare, that it would have the individual mandate? Well, it's got that because Mitt Romney sent his advisors to Barack Obama to advise on Obamacare. What was it, 11 different meetings? And so for Mitt Romney to say, oh, I only supported this because it was just statewide, it wasn't federal. He's such a lying pig. He's a lying pig. It would have fed his ego, the lust of his flesh, to see Romney care used as the model nationwide. He would have loved that. And he says it didn't have a negative impact on the budget. Which budget, Mitt? The federal budget? Because you funded a lot of it through Medicaid. You just pumped thousands of Massachusetts citizens above and beyond what had been the status quo onto the federal rolls through Medicaid. And you require the taxpayers to pay up to pay 90% of the health care premiums for a family making $44,000 a year. Boy, Cheryl and I, now we do make a bit more than that. We're not poor, we're not wealthy, but we're very grateful to God and to those who help us continue in this outreach. But, you know, we struggle from month to month. We struggle every single month. And healthcare is expensive. And wow, the taxpayers are going to pay 90% of our healthcare? That would free up $500 a month. We'd be on easy street. But we know it's wrong to use the force of the government to get our neighbors to pay so that I don't have to work as hard, or I don't have to work as smart, or I could take off more hours to be with my kids because now the government is taking care of me and my children. And that's wrong. And so God doesn't care whether it's the federal government or the state government when they do wrong. And he doesn't care if you're advocating that whether it's a Republican or a Democrat when they admit that they kill the innocent. God's not going to say, oh, you were supporting your own child killer? Oh, okay, that's okay. Hey, our website's cakeup.com.